Terry Gamble joins us by phone tonight. She's the author of Good Family and The Water Dancers. And tonight we'll talk about her current novel, which is titled The Eulogist, set right here in Cincinnati. Terry Gamble, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So, given that Cincinnati is headquarters for Procter & Gamble, I'm sure as soon as people heard your family name, they were wondering if there was a connection, and they'll wonder even more when I say that The Eulogist, your novel that we're going to talk about tonight, is set in Cincinnati. So I thought we'd begin with what seems to me like the very first moment this novel was born. Tell us, if you would, about finding a rendering of an obelisk in some old papers you were going through.
That's correct. Yes. So after my father had passed away, and he did grow up in Cincinnati, he would have been, I believe, the great-grandson of the founder. So I had heard so much about Cincinnati, but I grew up in California. And after he passed away, my sister and I were going through his belongings, and as one does, you go through a lot of belongings, and you start to get a little cavalier. And I came across this letter describing an obelisk, and I knew that that was what marked the family plot at Spring Grove. And it was fairly interesting, but there were these receipts, and the receipts looked pretty prosaic, and we were about to pitch them out. And then I realized they were receipts for exhumations, and that the original immigrants who had come with George Gamble from Ireland in 1819. He came with six children. They all made it, and they were all, you know, had lived their lives in Cincinnati. But now they were being disinterred and reinterred in Spring Grove. So I became curious as to who they might have been, what they might have thought about, and that led me down the research and the exploration about what was Cincinnati like at that time.
And your novel covers roughly the 1820s to the 1840s. Can you just give us a brief picture of what was going on at that time?
Well, so about the time that they settled in Cincinnati, which they did so inadvertently, they were actually headed to Illinois. But with the real family, as well as the fictional Gibbons family, puts in at Cincinnati because one of the sons gets sick. And then they see that there's a lot going on in Cincinnati. It's a bustling little village turning into a city. At that time, as you know, it was called later on Porkopolis. Farmers were bringing their pigs to market and slaughtering them at the slaughterhouses, and they were putting them on the boats, and they were sending them to the south, basically, to feed the slaves on the plantations. There was a lot of economic opportunity at the time. There was a lot of land speculation. Andrew Jackson soon was to become president. So there was this sense of free-spirited democracy that was a shift from the previous presidencies that had come from the more established landholding gentry from the East and South. And Fulton had invented the steam engine, so this was changing river traffic. The canals were being built. And so it was a time of rapid change. It was also time starting to change around slavery. And we see signs of early abolition. We see racial tensions in Cincinnati, race riots that have happened over the decades. And we see the Second Great Awakening take foot, which is a newfound religious fervor, I believe, in response to a lot of the rapid social and economic changes. And we see changes in technology. And in this case, in The Eulogist with this family, changes around lighting. The houses had been lit by candles, and they're soon to be lit by gas.
So it's into this environment that the Givens family arrives, and there are three children. Very shortly after arriving, their mother dies in childbirth. Their father decides to take off for New Orleans, we think. But the three siblings are very much individuals, and we actually hear their story through the eyes of Olivia, who has two brothers, James and Erasmus. And let's focus on Olivia. James actually is very entrepreneurial. He gets in the light business, and Erasmus is a preacher. But Olivia's a very unique character. So tell us about her, if you would.
So Olivia, the middle sister, is a woman of independent mind. And I don't think it was an easy thing to be a woman of independent mind at that time. So there's a description about how women were seen in those days in a cult of true womanhood, where their roles were quite constricted to basically staying at home, raising the kids, not having any kind of faith in public society, in civil society. They certainly didn't have the vote. And their minds, even though they were educated, they weren't really supposed to have their own thoughts. And yet Olivia, for better or worse, has her own thoughts. Originally, I started writing this book from different points of view, from Erasmus's point of view, from the nephew William that's born later, from his point of view, and from Olivia's. And talking to my editor, she says, you know, can you keep it with just Olivia? Because her experience seems to me the most true. And yet it presented some narrative challenges because it was very hard to get a woman character into certain situations that I wanted to describe because she just wouldn't have been there. She either has to hear about him secondhand or she has to kind of finagle her way to tag along, and which she does. And so she gets to experience some of the things that she's curious about. For instance, when she takes up with this doctor who's performing illegal autopsies. Autopsies were illegal because they were seen as desecrating the body of somebody who needed to be intact for the rapture. So that's why medical science was held back and doctors were working in secrecy. And she is invited to attend these autopsies and is learning right along with this doctor who she later marries.
Well, I think also that she herself is growing and changing, and that's the situation that you're presenting, especially in relationship to slavery, and this precedes the Fugitive Slave Act, but Black people in general still are targets, definitely, even on this side of the river. I do want to ask you about your writing life, because you have this wonderful quote that you try to lead a balanced life, and part of it is hiding out in a shed in the woods trying to write, acknowledging the terror of the blank page, as writers do. But I'm also was fascinated, and I have seen this again and again with writers who are women. There's this acknowledgement of the support of the circle of women with whom you write. So I want to say just a little bit about that.
Yes. If I'm lucky, I get to hide out in my shed, and I do have a shed, and it's totally private, and I do better if I can just get blocks of time where I don't have to think about other things. However, I think the thing that's kept me the most focused as a writer, and I would recommend to other writers, because it's such a solitary pursuit, and there's such great blocks of time before you can actually get feedback or acknowledgement, maybe through publishing or through sharing it with others. I've had this writing group. We have been together maybe 26 years, and we meet every other week during the summer, and we read each other's work and we criticize each other's work, but we also are very supportive of each other. And I feel so lucky to be with this group. They're all women, they're all writers, they're all published writers, and they're all excellent critics. And I say excellent because they're not just harsh critics, but they are fair. So it gives me or any of us an opportunity as a writer then to be getting a little bit more feedback as you go through this process. There is a sense that you're working in community and that you have a reader.
I want to thank you for visiting with us tonight. I loved the book. I know our listeners are going to appreciate it. And thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara.
I've been talking with Terry Gamble about her latest novel. It's titled The Eulogist, and you'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.